no, without Christ. Father, for the next few minutes, would you please convict their hearts of sin, that they come to you as a guilty sinner and repent of it, put their faith and trust in Christ for salvation. Lord, for us that are saved, may we see this morning what we have in Christ, what Christ has took away. Lord, we thank you. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. We told them this morning in Sunday school class, and I'm going to tell you again, this is not a parable. It's not some fictitious story that Christ has given to us out of his mouth just to try to persuade us to live a good life. It's not some fairy tale that a preacher stands up here and preaches about a place called hell just to try to get people to live by the golden rules and have morals and standards about them. This is a real place called hell. My friend, the greatest evidence we got there is a hell that Christ laid down his life so we don't have to go there. You say, preacher, what kind of evidence do we have? I've never been there. You've never been there. Many times I've heard in my life, people's told me to go to that place called hell. Many times I've told others to go to that place called hell. But my friend, I've never been there. You've never been there. I've not heard the screamings and cryings and the wailing and gnashing of teeth that's taking place in hell this morning. But I'm going to tell you, there is a place called hell. It is real. And Christ has died to save all the world so they don't have to go to that awful place. The Bible says in Matthew, it's a place prepared for the devil and his demons. I thought about that. All the terrible things the devil's done. All the terrible things the devil has put in this world. All the terrible things them demons has followed Satan around has caused in this world. All the turmoil, all the stress, all the heartaches, all the headaches, all the backaches, all those things the devil has allowed. This place called hell is prepared for a person like that. It's prepared for the person called the devil, for Satan, for Lucifer. God has prepared a place for a person called the devil and his demons, and all those who reject Christ as their Savior will have to go to a place called hell. I'm going to tell you this morning, it's not by the type of life you live, you go to heaven or hell. It's not because a man drinks beer, he goes to hell. It's not because a woman curses that she goes to hell. It's not because a person does this or a person does that, they go to hell. I'm going to tell you the reason a person goes to hell is because they rejected Christ as their Savior. I want to tell you, when you get born again, that Christ changes your life. He makes a new creature out of you. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I'm not going to tell you my life before I got saved. I'm ashamed of it. I'm embarrassed about it. I don't want to give the devil any praise. But I'm going to tell you, the person I was before I got saved is not the person I am today. The person I was before Christ came into my heart is not the same person standing before you today trying to preach the gospel. I've got the same skin. I've got the same eyes. I've got the same hair. I've got the same build. Everything about me on the outside is the same, but something has took place on the inside that has made me a new person in Jesus Christ. The Bible says the rich man died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. The Bible says also that Lazarus died and was carried by the angels in Abraham's bosom. My friend, death is an appointment that every one of us is going to have to keep. From the smallest child here to the oldest man or woman that's here, death is something that an appointment every one of us will have to keep one day. Hey, Jesus Christ is coming again. We all know that. If you believe the Bible, you know Christ is coming back. Hey, death might be a certainty for our lives. It might be something we have to walk through. And the Bible says that the rich man died and the beggar died. The rich man died and the beggar died. I want you to notice the two differences, if you will. The Bible says here, and verse 19, and there's a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. Boy, this man had all that the world could ever give to him. Boy, he had purple. Purple is a color for royalty. He might have been a royal prince. He might have been somebody in the kingship. The Bible also said that he was clothed in purple and fine linen. Fine linen is something very expensive that only the extravagant, only the rich people could afford. He fared sumptuously every day. Oh, he just didn't eat high on the hog one day. He ate high on the hog every day. He didn't ever eat a bologna and egg sandwich. He's always ate the good food. He's always supped on the good food. He's always wore the finest clothes. He's always had the very best day the world could ever give to him. And the Bible says in verse 20, and there was a certain beggar. Boy, that's more down my alley there, a beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gates full of sores. It's amazing to me how the Word of God gives us the name of the beggar, but never gives us the name of the rich man. The riches of this world doesn't amount to anything, my friend. But if you put your faith and trust in Christ, you become a child of God, and your name is very important then. We think about the woman that came to Jesus with the issue of blood. The Bible says a certain woman, but after Christ has met with her, and Christ has dealt with her, and Christ has cured her of her blood disease, the Bible says, he said, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. It's amazing, my friend. I was just a certain man. I was just a no good for nothing man. When I come to Jesus Christ and repented of my sins and put my faith and trust in him, now, my friend, I'm the son of God. Now, my friend, I'm a child of God. Now, my friend, I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ himself. Now, my friend, the Bible says that he has surnamed me. He knows the hairs on my head. Every hair on my head is numbered. He's got a nickname for me that only he himself knows. The Bible says there's a certain rich man and a certain beggar. And in verse 21, the Bible says that the beggar named Lazarus desired to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked the sores. Boy, this rich man was eating good every day, was eating high on the hog, and this old beggar just laid at his gates full of sores. The only companion that this beggar had was the dogs. The dogs would come and lick his sores. He said, I desire to be fed from the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Boy, that rich man would eat high on a hog and crumbs would fall in his lap. And no doubt when he stands up and the crumbs would fall on the ground. And the beggar said, I would love to have those crumbs that's on the ground under the rich man's table that fell from the corner of his mouth. Poor old beggar didn't have much, did he? But oh, the rich man did. The rich man will probably have everything we ever wanted. If we look at the world and say, this is what I want in the world, this is what I want to accumulate in the world, the rich man say, well, I've got it. The beggar would be like us out here in Zion and said, we don't have much, but we just live in a mobile home. We drive a broke down, beat up vehicle. Hey, we don't have much in this world. We just desire to get a little bit better, to have a little bit more. That is what happened in their lives. Both of them died. The Bible says, and it came to pass, and it will come to pass, that the beggar died and was carried by the angels in Abraham's bosom. And a rich man also died and was buried. Both of them died, both of them was buried, but here's the difference, my friend. One was taken to heaven, and one was took to hell. You see, the rich man whose name was the rich man who fared sumptuously every day, he had all the world could ever give to him. He did not have the one thing that he needed the most. The one thing he needed the most was Jesus Christ. He had the biggest house. He had probably a nice family. He had a lot of friends. He had all the world could give to him, but he died without Jesus Christ. But all of this beggar named Lazarus, he didn't have much. Maybe he just had one suit to wear to church on Sunday morning. Maybe he just had one vehicle to share. Maybe he just lived in a single wide trailer trying to make it every day just to survive. But one day he comes to reality that he needed Jesus Christ as his Savior. He called on him for salvation, and Christ has saved his unworthy soul. And now he's carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, and the rich man died and was buried. And that's what it says here in verse 23. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, been in torments, and said, Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosoms. I want to tell you this before I preach the message. It's going to be a real short message. But a person dies and goes to hell because they've not trusted Christ as their Savior. You say, preacher, what about all the drinking, all the cursing, all the dope smoking, all the rap music, all the dancing with somebody else's wife? What about all that stuff they've ever done? Don't that send them to hell? If they get saved by God's grace, God's blood's forgive them, and God's blood cleanses them, and God's blood has washed their sins away. But if they die, my friend, without Christ, they're going to have to go to hell with all that in them, with all the drinking, with all the booze, and with all the drugs, with all that stuff. They're going to have to die and go to hell with all that in them, my friend. But a person dies and go to hell without Christ. I want to preach this to you this morning. The cry from hell. The cry from hell. Look what it says in verse 24. And he cried out. And he cried and said, Father Abraham. This man who had everything in the world. He had the nicest suits, the fastest cars. He had all the pretty women. He had all the world could ever offer him. But my friend, he died without Jesus Christ. And the Bible says when he died, he was buried. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and cried and said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me." I want you to know, my friend, there's people in hell this morning who's crying to get a way out. The Bible says in hell, he lifted up his eyes. Boy, he lifted up his eyes trying to find a way out. He lifted his eyes up trying to find just one little speck of light, just one little door so he can get out. And he cried and said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me. I'm too good to be here. I've lived too good to be here. I'm a rich man. I've all the world can give me. God, I'm too good to be here. Please get me out." He cried for a way out. That rich man's still there today, crying for a way out. Can you hear him? Father Abraham. Oh, he was a religious man because he knew who Abraham was. He knew he was the father of many nations. So he said, "Father Abraham, this man probably went to church every time on Sunday morning. This man probably had a Bible. This man probably gave an offering to the church. This man was probably there as a preacher preached, my friend. He was a religious fella, but he died without Jesus Christ. And now he's in hell. He's lifting up his eyes, being in torments, crying for a way out." Crying for a way out. Mama who's raised her children, boy, provide breakfast for them before they go to school. Who cleans the house where they're gone. Waits for her children to come back home and take care of them. Takes care of their sores and takes care of their sickness. A mother who stays up all during the night, take care of the little child's sickness as she's trying to nurse them back to health. A mother who's there, my friend, to provide three meals for her children, who takes care of her children, who washes their clothes and takes care of the sickness. A mother, my friend, who's given her life to raise her children. If she would die without Jesus Christ, she has to go to a place called hell, my friend. And can you hear her voice? "Get me out! Let me out! I want to get out! Have mercy on me! Let me out! Let me out!" This rich man's there, crying for a way out. "Abraham, I've lived a good life. I've gave to the poor beggars. I've fed the poor beggars. I've contributed to the church. I was there on Sunday morning. I amen the preacher as he preached. I come to the altar and pray. Hey, Abraham, please let me out." You hear him crying. The cry of hell is a cry for a way out. How many people's there this morning crying for a way out? We say them dope heads that takes the drugs and get behind an automobile, going down a highway 100, 150 miles an hour and wrecks and crashes into the tree and the car burns up. They deserve to be there. We say the mother who straps her children to a car, rolls them into the lake, and hears them drown. She deserves to be there. We'll say a man that will beat his wife and molest his daughter and shoot her in the head and leave her there for dead, he deserves to be there. We will say a man, a young boy, 17-year-old, that will come to Florence and rob a woman and shoot her and stick her in the trunk of her car and drive her car around for 2 or 3 days, he deserves to be there. That's what we believe. Every one of them is crying this morning for a way out. If we look at that dope head, that drunk, and those killers and those murderers, we'll say, you made your choice. You choose to live that life, and you deserve to be in hell today. Well, what about that father that worked 40 hours a week? Gave his life for his family, provided for him, did all he could to make the best life he can for him, but he died without Jesus. He's in hell today too. How about that doctor who's given his life to help his patients get better, prescribe the right medicine, perform the right surgery so young boys can walk again, so young girls can have a motherhood, so all this stuff can take place in their life. The doctor who dies without Christ is in hell. The mama who dies without Christ is in hell. The father who dies without Christ is in hell. And every one of them, the murderers crying out, "I want a way out." And we look at them and say, "No, you deserve to be in hell." That mother's crying out and saying, "I need to get out. I need to get out." The father's saying, "Have mercy on me. I want to get out." There's people in hell this morning crying. Some of us got family members in hell this morning. Got family members in hell this morning. I've got people in my family that I know, that I knew has died without Christ, and they're in hell this morning. They're roasting in the flames of fire, and they're crying for a way out. I want to tell you while you're here and you listen to me, there's no way out of hell. There's no way out. If you die without Jesus Christ, there's no way out of the place called hell. It's just a one way in. And you get in, my friend, by death without receiving Christ as your Savior. And there's no way out. A place that's prepared for the devil and his angels. A place, my friend, where the Bible says there's wailing and gnashing of teeth. A place, my friend, where the Bible says that there's everlasting fire and the worm dieth not. You'll be there forever for all eternity. You'll never die. You'll be forever dying but never die. I want to tell you, my friend, everyone that's here today, I don't know your heart. I don't know if you're saved. I don't know if you're a child of God, but I do know this. If you die without Jesus Christ, there's no way out of the place called hell. You say, preacher, I've been to church my whole life. You say, preacher, I've given to the church. Preacher, I've done this, I've done that. I've been a good person. I've never stolen. I've never cursed. I've never done this. I've never done that. But my friend, when you stand before God and say, depart from me, I never knew you. Ye that work iniquity. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, you're going to die and go to hell, and there's no way out. I've got my children here this morning. I love them to death, but I can't live their lives for them. I don't know their heart. I know how they carry themselves and how they act. But I can't see their hearts. My friend, wouldn't it be something if the preacher's children would die without Christ and go to a place called hell? When I die, I could stand before God and say, God, I love my children. And God, I preach the gospel, and I led people to Christ. I've done the best I could. God, can't you just make one exception and get my child out of the pits of hell? I don't want them burning. I don't want them to die. I don't want them to be separated from God. I don't want them to be in hell. I want them to be in heaven. God, can't you make one exception? And all God can do is look at me and say, there's no way out. There's no way out. They've made their choice here for then. The cry of hell is a cry for a way out. A cry in hell is a cry for relief. Notice what the Bible says, if you will. It says in verse 24, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. Here this rich man who had everything the world could ever offer him, he fared sumptuously every day. This old beggar, my friend, that laid at his gates full of sores. You ever seen someone like that? I have. I've seen an old homeless man sitting in the gutter. Boy, he's just filthy. He's just nasty. You can see the lice crawling on in his hair. You can just see the scabs on his body. You can just see the putrefying sores oozing out the stuff that's in him. It's just a nasty sight. It's just something that would turn your stomach. And here this rich man who probably took a bath every day and slept in the nicest clothes and slept in the nicest bed and had all that it could ever offer him. You know what he said? He said, Lord, I'm crying out for help. I'm crying out for relief. I just want someone to come. Won't you send Lazarus, that old beggar that stayed at my gates, the one who desired to be fed from the crumbs that fell from my tables, the one who only companion was just an old dirty dog. Won't you send him to take his finger and dip it in water and give me just one drop? He said, all I want is just one drop of water. Send Lazarus. He may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. That old rich man just wanted one drop of water. That old rich man just wanted one drop of water. Just one drop of water. He said, oh, send old Lazarus. Send Lazarus that he may just dip the tip of his finger and cool my tongue. I just want just one drop of water. He said, send Lazarus and he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. I just want one drop of water. He's crying for relief. He's crying for help. There's going to be people in hell who says, give me one more beer. Just give me one more beer. Just give me one more puff of that blunt. Just give me one more puff of that marijuana. Just give me one more. Just give me one more line to suck up my nose. Hey, just give me one more pill to pop. Just give me one more shot glass of liquor. Hey, just let me watch one more movie with pornography on it. Let me just dance one more time with somebody else's wife. Hey, just give me one more. Just one more. Just one more. And we'll say, no. You made your choice. You deserve to be in hell. It's going to be no more drinking, no more partying for you. What about that mother that says, let me see my child one more time? How about that father that says, let me hug my children one more time? What about that husband that says, let me give my wife just one more kiss? What about that mother that says, let me just hold my little baby one more time? Just one more time, God, just one more time. Let me out of hell so I can kiss my husband and hold my children and tell them I love them. Just God, just please give me some help. Just give me some relief. I want to tell you, this rich man never got one drop of water. This rich man never got out of hell. He never got what he wanted. You might be here today. You might be a good person. You might be just an old drunk. I don't know. But if you die and go to hell, you won't get what you want. You know what the Bible says? He was tormented in the flames. Abraham says, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth the good things. If you die and go to hell, I don't know who I'm talking to this morning. If you're here this morning, you're lost without Christ, and you die and go to hell, you're going to remember every time you had a chance to be saved. You're going to remember every time the preacher come to your house and told you about Jesus Christ. You're going to remember every time someone gave you a gospel tract. You're going to remember every time the Holy Ghost has pricked your heart for salvation, and you'll go to hell and you'll say, God, give me one more chance. He said, no, you had your chances. God, I believe in you. Give me one more chance. Give me one more chance. Give me one more chance. Just give me one drop of water. Just give me one more hug and one more kiss. One more day. God, just give me one more chance. And there's no more chances. And then the third cry we hear, this rich man said, Father Abraham, I've got five brethren. I've got five brothers at my house. They've lived the same life I've lived. Would you send somebody to them to tell them about you? Would you send somebody to their house to tell them about Jesus? I don't want them to die and come to this awful place I'm in. Not only a cry for a way out, not only a cry for relief, but a cry for his family. He said, Father Abraham, he said, my destiny is set. I'm in hell. I can't get out. I can't get one drop of water. But I care for my family. I love my family. Please go tell someone to tell my family. You know what? You know what the Bible says? Let me find my Bible. Look what the Bible says here, if you would. In verse 29, well, verse 28, the Bible says, I have five brethren that he may testify unto them, lest they also should come unto this place of torments. Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. Here's what the man said in verse 30. He says, and he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. Here's what the rich man said in hell. He said, Father Abraham, I know they got Moses. I know they got the prophets. But hey, won't you set them aside? Won't you let someone raise from the dead and go tell them about Jesus? He said, Abraham, how about me? Can I raise from the dead? Can't you restore life back to me, that I can get out of hell and go tell my family about hell, about the flames, about the everlasting fire? Oh, Abraham, can I go and tell my brothers to get saved so they don't come to this place of torments? And Abraham said, hey, if they're not persuaded by the Moses and the prophets, they're not going to be persuaded that one rose from the dead. I'm here today preaching to you. You know you're lost, undone without Christ. And you know what we say? We say if Jesus Christ would come back and preach to them, they'd get saved. But you don't get saved by signs. You don't get saved by wonders. You get saved by faith. If you're not going to believe Moses, if you're not going to believe the prophets, if you're not going to believe the word of God, you're going to have to die and go to hell without Jesus. A cry from hell is a cry for the family. He said, well, please somebody, tell my family. Tell my family. Tell my family. Tell my family. Please, will somebody tell my family? Hey, church, will somebody tell my neighbors? Hey, church, will somebody tell my family? Hey, will somebody tell my coworkers? Will somebody tell somebody about Jesus Christ? They don't have to die and go to that place called hell. Hey, church, this is a message to us this morning. You say, preacher, I'm saved. I've been set free. I no longer have to die and go to hell for my sins. Hey, praise God. Hallelujah for that. You don't have to die and go to hell. But what about your neighbors? And what about your friends? And what about your other family? What about your husbands and your wives? And your children and your grandchildren, have you took time to tell them who Jesus Christ is? Because once they get there, there's no way out. We got these doors, these double doors right here. You can lock them from the outside. If you're inside, you can get out. But if you're outside, you can't get in. I believe we're going to reverse that. We're going to put the locks on the inside, so once you get in, you can't get out. Anybody can come in when they want to, but you can't get out. But hell's that way. Once you get in, there's no way out. You're forever there. And you'll be crying out for help, and there'll be no help. And then you remember about your husband and your wife, your children, your brothers, your sisters. You remember every time the preacher told you how to be saved. You remember every time someone brought the word of God to you and told you about Jesus Christ. You remember every time you heard a song and the Holy Spirit of God pricked your heart and told you you should give your life to Christ. You remember all those times as someone come to you and told you about Jesus, you know that your life is doomed, that you're condemned. You remember about your family and you'll beg someone then, hey, go tell someone, go tell my family, go tell my loved ones that hell is real, that heaven is sweet, and that Jesus still saves. You'll be crying out then. Don't stop, preacher. Oh, don't stop. Keep on passing out gospel tracts and keep on preaching about hell and keep on knocking on doors. Keep on. This lady back here, just talking to her a few minutes ago, she'd been wanting to come to this church for, you say, months or years? She'd been wanting to come here for years and finally got someone to bring her. But you said we come to your door once or twice? A lot of times. Boy, they might not get saved the first time. I'm not saying that she's not saved. I'm saying she's here now because someone's brung her, because we kept going. That's right. Hey, my friend, keep going. Keep telling. You're here today. You're not saved. I'm going to give invitation here in just a few minutes. Tiffany's going to get up. She's going to walk to the piano. She's going to play a verse of Just As I Am without one plea. Hey, my friend, won't you just come to Jesus Christ? Won't you come to him this morning and say, God, I don't want to die and go to hell. I want you to forgive my sins. And I want you to come in my heart and save me today. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says he'll save you today. He'll give you everlasting life today. He'll do a work in your heart that you can't get done in this world. And my friend, today you might be saved. You might be set free. You might be sanctified. You might be set apart. Won't you tell God today, hey, God, don't let me lose the burden for souls. God, help me to tell somebody. Help me to go. Help me to spread the gospel. Help me to go. Help me to care. Help me to have concern, because I don't want my family to die and go to hell. I don't want my loved ones to die and go to hell. I don't want my neighbors to die and go to hell. Is there anybody that you know that you want to see die and go to hell? If you know someone you want to see die and go to hell, tell me about them. I don't believe nobody would say that. I don't believe anybody in their right mind would say, David, there's somebody in my life I want to see them die and bust hell wide open. None of us would say that. But that's the way we act, because we're not willing to tell. We're not willing to share. We're not willing to go. Would you come to Jesus today? I've got some friends. I've got some friends that's here today. I've invited them. Mama's invited them. Daddy's invited them. Other church members invited them. I'm glad they're here. I'm not trying to embarrass them, but they wouldn't be here unless somebody didn't invite them. She wouldn't be here unless somebody invited them. They wouldn't be here unless somebody invited them. Hey, Johnny wouldn't be here unless somebody invited him months and months ago. Hey, you wouldn't be here unless somebody invited you. Let's just keep telling the good news. If you're not saved, I want you to get saved today. And if you are saved, won't you keep telling Jesus Christ? Miss, somebody invited you to church, didn't they? Somebody invited you to church. Somebody invited y'all to church. Let's keep on doing what we should do. Because there's people crying in hell today. Go tell my mama. Go tell my daddy. Go tell my brothers and my sisters that hell is real. Let's pray together. Father, I pray now during invitation time that you'll help us. Hell's a real place. People's really dying going there. And Lord, I don't know who they might be, but there might be someone here today that needs to be saved. I pray, God, they give their life to Christ. While we stand to our feet here in just a few minutes, we'll have our heads bowed, our eyes closed. The invitation will softly begin. We've made all the preparations. We've made all the plans. But Father, I pray you'll intervene and touch people's hearts. If they're here today, they know they're lost and know without Christ. Please, God, help them to come forward, receive Christ as their Savior. And for us that are saved, we know we've been born again, that heaven's our home. I pray, God, we don't lose the concern and compassion for telling others about Jesus Christ. Lord, help us now. I pray, God, you would. In your precious name we pray. Would you stand to your feet with me? With heads bowed, eyes closed, the invitation begins. The altar's open this morning. I want to ask you this. Would there be one in a church building this morning? Now, I won't come to you. I won't call your name out. But I will pray for you. Would you say, preacher, this morning, I'm lost. I'm done without Jesus. I need to be saved. Would you just slip your hand up and say, preacher, you pray for me. God bless you. I see that. We're going to have a lady come deal with you, talk to you with the Bible. And she's going to show you how to trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior. Whatever someone else says, preacher, I'm lost. I need to be saved. Would you just slip your hand up and say, preacher, I'm that person. I'm lost. I need to be saved. I'm lost. If I die and go to hell, I'll be there for eternity. Preacher, pray for me. I'm lost. Is there another? Is there another? How about you, Christian? Have you lost the desire to tell others? Have you lost the compassion to tell others? Have you lost the joy of going out, seeing people saved, seeing people's lives change? Hey, my friend, won't you pray today and ask God to give you enough of guts to tell your family about Jesus? Won't you pray today and ask God to give you enough of concern to tell your neighbors and friends about Jesus? Won't you ask God to give you enough of the Holy Spirit of God in your life to pass out a gospel tract and invite somebody to church? Won't you ask God to help you this morning? Can you hear the people in hell crying? If someone would just go tell my mama, she don't have to die and go to hell. If somebody just go tell my pa, he don't have to die and go to hell. If someone go tell my brothers and sisters to get in a church and give their life to Christ, get saved, they don't have to die and go to hell. Oh, would God help us? Would God help us this morning?